Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We've been looking at diligence, and we saw that the word diligence means decision, a choice, a strict, firm decision. The word also means, and this is in the original Hebrew language, sharp, determination, eager. And so, you know, there's a few golden nuggets the Lord gave us last week. One of them was, don't be like a wave of the sea, tossed and driven, but be like the wind and make your decision. Right? Diligence is decisive, makes its decision. And Jesus said, those who are born of the Spirit are like the wind. They're like the wind. Anybody been born of the Spirit? Born again, born of God. Well, you're supposed to be like the wind, praise God. You're not being kicked around by the wind. You are the wind. And the waves of the sea, you know, that's those that they don't get in faith. They're double-minded, and they get kicked all over the place. So we're not going to be like a wave of the sea, tossed and driven. We're going to be like the wind. We're going to make our decision. Being undecided causes you to delay and become tossed around by whatever comes your way. We don't want to just get tossed around by whatever happens, happens. You know, the circumstances of life, you know, just whatever comes up in a day is pushing us all over the place, and we can't seem to stay on course and get done what we want to get done. You know, remember, you know, you think about a boat, a ship out there in the sea, if it just sits out there and just lets the wave tell it where to go, you know, it's not going to get anywhere. It's not going to get to any particular destination. It's just going to get knocked around and pushed all over the place. And you know, that's how a lot of people live their life, just tossed and driven. But no, we've got a purpose. We've got a plan. We've got direction for our life. We're following God. We're following God. And so he keeps us on course with a purpose in life. So it's not just, oh, this big wave came, and so now my whole life goes this way. Oh, this big wave came, and now my life's going this way. And just wherever the wave and the wind pushes us around. That's not how we're going to live our life. That's not a diligent person. We're not going to get done what God's called us to get done if we live like that. Being undecided causes you to delay and become tossed around by whatever comes your way. You become spiritually blinded when you're double-minded. Right? He said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, an unstable person isn't getting much done, is he? No, so we don't want to be spiritually blinded by being double-minded. Again, that's being undecided, undecided. There's a lot of things in life where we know what to do already, don't we? We already know what to do, and now we need to be doing it. The day-to-day doing what you know to do will get you places in life. A lot of folks just don't do what they know to do. They just don't do the day-to-day diligent things that they know in their heart they're to be doing, and so they never get anywhere. And so, but if we just do the day-to-day things that we know to do, we're going to go places in life. In being decisive, it's important not to be hasty, hurried, rushed. How can we keep ourselves from doing things hastily? By doing things wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Why don't we go to Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 23 it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily, not hastily, heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, when we're talking about doing things heartily, we're talking about doing them from our heart. Doing them from our heart or doing them from our spirit. Not just doing things out of our flesh because of our feelings, because of impulse. You know, a lot of people do things impulsively. Now, there is some spontaneous things that, you know, the Spirit of God will lead us to do. But not impulsive, not just reacting to the flesh. We don't just react to things, we respond to things. See? We don't just react, we respond. In other words, there's thought involved in the decisions we make in life. In what we do in life, there's thought behind it. There's considering God, considering His Word, considering His will, considering what He wants, considering how what we're doing affects others. Because a big part of being led by God is being led by love, for God is love. So, you know, how do you follow God? Walk in love. Follow love according to the Word of God, not the fleshy soul, ooshy-gooshy, sensual, touchy-feely love of this world. But I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 kind of love. I'm talking about that laying your life down kind of love, the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated. So if we're following that kind of love, we're going to consider other people. So there's thought behind what we say and what we do. That's what we mean when we talk about do it from the heart. Do it from a deeper place than just that superficial, fleshy place. So sometimes that means we're going to have to just stop and pause. Pause. Sometimes it's hard for the flesh to pause. The flesh is just, it has to say it now. It has to have it now. It has to do it now. That's why fast food restaurants thrive. I mean, you know, people got to have it fast. And fast isn't even fast enough for most people. Computers, no matter how fast they get, they're never fast enough. I mean, can you imagine taking this generation and going back to dial-up? Dial-up internet? I mean, could you imagine? I mean, oh, it'd be more than they could bear. You know, dial-up internet, right? And you're just waiting for the thing to open up, you know. But back then, we were excited. It was new, and this is great. We're going to get online. Now it's like, what? That'd be torturous. Because things are moving so quick. So we got to watch about being caught up in that. And we react real fast to things. We want to be able to slow down and follow our heart. Follow our heart. So he says, whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it heartily. And now there's actually four of the keys here in this verse of scripture that'll help us to be diligent in life and accomplish what God has for us to do. Notice again, he says, and whatever you do, whatever you do, every one of you has a whatever in you. You have some things that you know that you are to do. It might not be what the person next to you is supposed to do, but it's something that you're supposed to do. And we've got to watch about waiting on everybody else to, you know, before we do what's in our heart. And that's the next thing he says. He says, whatever you do, do it. That's some good advice right there. Do it. Just do it. Do it. Whatever you do, do it. Whatever you have, whatever you know to do, whatever it is that you know to do, do it. Act on it. A lot of times people just delay and delay and delay, and they miss all kinds of opportunities that God's trying to work out for them in their life. Delaying, not acting upon it. But if we get something, we gotta do it. We know this is, I have a, you know, Jesus said this. He said, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have it. Notice that. Whatever you desire. Here he says, whatever you do. Or we could say, whatever you desire to do. If you put the scriptures together, whatever you desire to do. It's not a whatever according to the flesh. We know that with God. He told us right here, we're supposed to do it heartily, according to our spirit, according to our hearts. So he's saying, whatever you desire to do. Do you have desires on the inside of you? Well, now what do we need to do with them? Do it. Do it. Do it. Don't delay. Don't toy with it. Don't put it off. Don't wait for somebody else. to do it first. You just do it. And do it now. If you got it, do it. Over in John chapter 13, verse 27, it says, now, this is at the Last Supper. Jesus knows he's about to be betrayed. And notice here, verse 27 says, now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Talking about Judas Iscariot, who is to betray Jesus. Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. In other words, you've already got this thing in your heart to do it. Now, just go do it. Go do it. Actually, if you go back to verse 2, it says, and supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So notice, this wasn't some kind of superficial thing that Judas did. Like if you go and look at the disciple Peter, you know, when that pressure came and they were saying, you know, you're one of his disciples. And he began to say, I don't know the man. He panicked. He was in the flesh and he panicked. And three times he denied the Lord. But it was a superficial denial of the Lord. It wasn't something that he was doing from his heart. It was something he was doing from his flesh. He was reacting in the flesh to the pressure of the flesh that was coming against him. And not knowing what to do, he denied the Lord, which later he repented for. Judas, that wasn't the case. Judas got this thing down deep into his heart. He had been thinking on this and thinking on this for a while. Satan had been talking to him, and it got down into his heart. And then when he ate the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Jesus, understanding what was in Judas's heart, said, buddy, if you're going to do it, go do it and get it over with. Even when it came to something evil. What you do, you're going to do it. Whatever you do, do it. Here he says, do it quickly. Do it quickly. That was a word that I took hold of back when we had just started the church. We had been going for about a year and 4 months. And we had been in this country club where we started conducting services. And then I finally found a building. In fact, it was a day I got in my car and I went out and I said, I will not come home until I find a place. And it was pouring rain out. And I had made up my mind I wasn't coming home until I found a place. Because there were so many things that were hindering me from being able to get a place of our own. You know, just a building where we didn't have to set up every service, you know, in this conference room. And so sure enough, that morning I found the gun shop, as we call it, where we started our church behind where they made gun stocks and stuff. So, but when I found the place, upstairs where our sanctuary was going to be, in the upper room where the sanctuary was going to be, there was offices and there was all kinds of things in there, rooms and things, that I knew needed all be cleared out. So I just knew that we needed to be in this place and we needed to be in it now. I just had that in my heart. This was it. That's why I wasn't going to go home until I found a place. When I found the place, it was like, now's the time. Not next week, not tomorrow. Now is the time. And I went over to the phone book because I needed someone that could come in and they could demolition the place and clear it out and build us a platform and a sound booth and turn it into a sanctuary for us and do some other things. And so I would call the first contractor and I said, I told him, you know, what I needed and things. He said, well, I could be out there. I could come out next week and look at it. I said, no, I need someone to come out today. So I can't come out today. I said, okay, thank you. Bye. Click. Next. Well, I could probably make it out there tomorrow. No, I really need someone to come out and look at it today. Well, I can't be out there today. Okay, well, thanks. Praise God. You're not the man for the job. And I knew that the one that would do it now was the one that could do the job and was supposed to do the job. So I went through about, you know, four or five different ones. Finally, I got to a guy and I said, when can you come out? And he said, well, I can I can come out now if you want. I said, when can you start? He said, well, we can start right away. And he was the man. And we transformed that building, the inside of that building, in 1 week. We were ready for the next Sunday service. And I had people tell me, oh, slow down. You know, this is, you know, why does it all have to be done right now? I said, you're either for me or you're against me. I mean, that's how, I mean, it was, I was just that intense about it. You're either for me or you're against me. Because I remember what you do quickly. Get it done now. And so sure enough, you know, we got it done. And we did a midweek service at the country club in the conference room. And when we walked in, this guy that was stressed out by a wrong spirit that kind of managed the place walked up to me and he said, this is going to be your last service. You're not going to be able to come in here anymore and have meetings here anymore. I said, okay. I already knew. We're not going to be here. This is going to be, I was going to actually tell him this is our last time here. He said, are you upset? I said, no. He was ready to, you know, you could tell he was kind of, he got himself stirred up to, you know, combat me, you know. And I said, no, praise God. But that's why you got to follow the Lord. What you do, do quickly. And man, we got that place transformed in just a few days because that was the will of God. It was in our heart to get in there, and we did it quickly. Do it. Just do it. And then notice he says, whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord. As to the Lord. And again, we've talked about this. It's a big key to being diligent, our motives. We're not doing it unto ourselves. We're not doing it for money. We're not doing it for other people. Everything we're doing to the Lord. Our motives are spiritual, not material. Not just natural, but spiritual. He's the focus of our affection. He's the passion behind what we do. He's the one that gives us the passion to be diligent, to get things done. Can you say amen? And then he says, not to men. Not to men. How many people know you will not stand before men in the end to give an account for your life? You're not going to stand before people and give an account to them. So do everything as unto him and not to man. And many times when you do things God's way, people will look at you and say you're crazy or you shouldn't be doing that, or they'll think there's something wrong with you. People get offended with you. People got offended with Jesus all the time. People got offended with the prophets all the time. People got offended with the disciples, the apostles all the time. Welcome to the party. It's just part of the territory. But if you're moved by people, then you're going to get moved out of the purpose of God for your life. You're going to be held back from accomplishing God's plan for your life. You can't be held back by people. We're not doing it unto them. Sometimes you can just look at them and say, well, you know, I don't have to stand before you on judgment day. So I'm going to have to follow the Lord because I have to stand before him. Now, a lot of times people do get under pressure and panic and miss God, mostly due to time. If it's not people, many times it's time that causes people to get under pressure. Even the devil knows this. Because Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 says, the devil has come down to you having great wrath. He's very upset because he knows that he has a short time. The devil's time is running out, and it makes him a very angry person. And a lot of times, when people are very upset and very angry, it's because they're under pressure due to time running out. Time is running out. But friend, you do not want to be in the devil's category. You don't want to be over in that category of being under pressure because of running out of time. That's the category the devil's in. He's under pressure and ain't acting right. You know, when you're under pressure, you don't act right. It's a race against time. People that are racing against time don't act right. And usually there's a lot of wrath, great wrath, coming forth from their lives. So that should not be you and I. You and I should be the very opposite of the devil. We're not in a panic over time. We're not rushing because of time. And you got to remind yourself for that. of that. That no, that's the devil. He's the one that's panicking. He's running out of time. As for me, I got all eternity. That's a good one. See, he don't have all eternity. I mean, he has all eternity, but it's in a lake of fire. That's not an exciting place. I mean, all he has ahead of him is just torment. So you can see how he would get in a panic about his time running out. But as for you and I, we've already passed from death to life by making Jesus the Lord of our life. And so, you know, we're going on forever. And the truth of the matter is, I have all eternity to be successful. You got to remind yourself of that. So that's how people are, they're racing because they have to get the house and they got to have, listen, I got a mansion. I got a mansion coming eventually. I mean, that's guaranteed. And Jesus is the builder of the thing. So it's nice. Okay, now, yeah, I want to get this building built. I want to, I understand all that. But, I mean, I'm guaranteed some great things in the not too distant future. I have all eternity. I'm not under pressure. As for me, as for my personal life, I have no reason to be under pressure. I have all eternity to be a success, to make it big. But as for those that are lost, they don't have all eternity. So therefore, for their sake, we work very diligently and very aggressively, motivated by love, to get the building built, to be increased in our personal life, because the more blessed we are, the more of a blessing we can be. See, it's not just about us gathering things for ourselves for retirement by a certain age. We got all eternity. Our lives are covered, man. I said, we're covered. We got forever. But the world doesn't. And so they need us to be quick. They need us to be diligent. They need us to be passionate. They need us to be motivated to move and get things done. So we're moving and we're getting things done. But again, it's not, the motivation is not for ourselves, because as for me, I have all eternity. Remind yourself of that. So if you're pressured and pressured, I have all eternity. I'm not in any panic. I'm not in any pressure for me. Because I'm doing what I do out of love, an aggressive love for others, there's no fear in that. Because perfect love casts out fear. So there's no fear and there's no panic in our moving quickly, in our getting things done. There's no fear, there's no panic, because it's all being done by love. And with no concern for our own life, because we're well taken care of. Time is something that works around the clock without taking a single break. How many people know just time just keeps working? It never rests. Time never takes a 5-minute break. You ever notice that? You know, you look at the clock, the thing just keeps moving. You look at the sun, the moon, everything keeps, it never takes a 5-minute break. Can you just take a 5-minute break? Never takes a 5-minute break. Just keeps moving. So, more than likely, you won't be able to keep up with it, because you do take breaks. Time doesn't take breaks. So, that's why you have to already understand you lose. If you're racing time, I'm racing against time, you lost. I can tell you that right now. You're in a losing race, because time ain't resting. Time's not stopping. Time just keeps on going. Time keeps moving. It will outperform you every day. So because time will outperform you every day, you cannot manage it. How many of you know the manager usually needs to be a little bit better than the one he's managing? And people talk about time management, managing time. But you can't manage time. First of all, it doesn't need you to manage it. It's very faithful. It's very faithful. It works around the clock. Doesn't take any breaks. It's very consistent. It's very reliable. It's very established. Time is very established. So it doesn't need to be managed. It doesn't need you. And you can't manage it anyway. So that's the first mistake people make when it comes to time management. They think they can control time. You can't control it. Man, I got to manage my time. Have you ever said something like that? Man, I got to get control of the time. You can't. What do you mean you're going to get control of it? You're going to slow it down. You're going to make it do something. It's going to do what it's going to do, and it's going to do it all the time, consistently. So you put these little statements, you know, trying to control time, trying to manage time, and what people end up getting is frustrated. That's all they end up getting is just frustrated. You got to realize, number one, you can't control time. You can't control it. Time waits for nobody. Now, pride tries to own it, my time, boss it, save it, trying to save time, and they try to keep it from running out. What is time? Time is a tool we can use to organize our life. It's not to run our life. A lot of people have gotten over into a mode where, you know, they get up and time is running their life. It's running their life. They're looking at time like it's this big idol on the wall. They look at the clock, you know, like it's this, it's like the goddess clock. And it begins to run our life. But how many people know we're not supposed to let time run our life? We're supposed to let someone who's a little bit bigger than time run our life. And I got news for you. God is bigger than time. He's the one that created it, and he's the only one that can control it. And because he's bigger and better than time, he can manage it. And he can make time do things that you can't make it do without God. He can make time stand still. And we see that in the Word of God. There was actually a day where time stood still. Why don't we look at it really quick? Over in Isaiah chapter 38, and in verse 7, it says, "And this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards." So the sun, now this is actually something else. I said stand still, but notice this. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. This time, time actually went backwards. Because how many people know the sun going backwards, the clock going in reverse, is causing time to go backwards? God can do that. I said God could do it. Now, of course, you know, we're talking about the sundial going backwards, that means it's like the earth was reversed in its rotation. I mean, you think about that. Everything's held together because the gravitational pull of the earth's rotation. So if you stop the rotation and reverse it in the other direction, it's going to be a mess. And then it affects all the other planets. It just throws everything out of whack. Everything becomes chaotic and disorganized. Unless God's in control of the time. Nothing falls apart, becomes chaotic and disorganized if God's the one controlling our times. Over in Psalm chapter 31, verse 15, it says, "My times are in your hand." That's exactly where your times need to be. Another translation says, "My life is in your hand." That's used interchangeably. So the times that we're spending on earth, the time of our life here on the earth, where does it need to be? In your hands? Are you going to manage this thing? Are you going to manage your days? Manage your time? No. There's another scripture that says, "Man may plan his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." So we can plan things, but ultimately the Lord directs our steps. He's the one leading us. And it's not like this for everybody, but we're talking about us. We're talking about the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. We're seeking to follow him. We're not just doing our own thing. So God, he has the times of our life. He controls our clock. He controls our day. Our clock does not control us. God controls our clock. Can you say amen? And we follow him. We follow him. Over in Joshua chapter 10, there was a day where the Israelites were in a battle. Joshua was leading the army. And man, they were getting great victories, but the sun started to go down. And if the sun set on them, then they would have to stop fighting. And if they stopped fighting, then they would lose ground in this battle. And so Joshua does something by faith in God. And of course, it was special faith. It was God's faith that came upon him over in Joshua chapter 10. Verse 12, then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped. To the people had revenge upon their enemies. Think about this miracle that took place. First it says, Joshua spoke to the Lord. So before Joshua spoke to time, he spoke to the Lord. He spoke to the Lord, and then the Lord put this in his heart for him to be able to speak to the Son. You know how many know faith comes by hearing and hearing from God? So, you know, if you see God and God speaks to you and says, do this and this is what I'll do. Then if you hear that from him, you will have the faith to be able to do that. So he spoke to the Lord spoke to him, gave him direction on what to do. So in complete faith, having heard from God, he stood up and spoke to the sun and commanded it to stand. He stopped time. And again, if you stop time, if you stop the sun and the moon from coming up, going down, then you have affected the very rotation of the earth. Because how many people know it wasn't the sun or the moon that was moving? But Joshua didn't know that. They hadn't discovered that yet. He thought it was the sun that moved and the moon that moved. So he spoke to the sun to stand still. He spoke to the moon to stand. They already were standing still. Now, this is an important thing to understand. And I was just thinking about this the other day. You know, sometimes when we pray, we don't have all the facts right. But how many people know God knows what you're talking about? He didn't quite have it right here scientifically. He didn't have the facts right. He's telling, sun, stand still. And the sun's sitting there going, I'm already still, buddy. It's you that's moving. It's the earth that's rotating. That's really what's going on. But he didn't sit there and say, earth, stand still. He said, sun stood still, but God understood. God's not dumb. God understood it, even though he didn't quite say it right. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't get educated and grow in our knowledge of things, because God expects us to learn and grow and get smarter. But if you don't know necessarily something fully, as long as you have spiritual understanding about the situation, if you speak in faith, God will honor that and God will take care of it. He'll give you what you ask for. He'll give you what you ask for. And that's good news. So it stood still. The next part of verse 13 says, is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. About a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So the Lord heard his prayer and the Lord did what he asked for. Now it's interesting, they say that there's actually a day missing from our calendar. A full day is missing from our calendar. And if you put those two things we just said together, that's where the day is missing. Because this was almost a day, and there was an hour that went back on the sundial, And so that would be the other part that finished off that day missing from our calendar today. And I don't quite understand how they figured that out. But they looked and they said, "There's, according to their mathematical equations, there was a day missing from the calendar." And it's right here in the Word of God. That happened. Amen. God's bigger than time. And so he can cause us to get time back. And that's why he tells us over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, 15. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Notice that he talks about redeeming the time. That word redeeming means to buy back, rescue from loss, ransom, buy up. We can get time back. We see it right here in the Word of God with Joshua. We see the time stood still, and then we also saw where the time actually went back, and God's telling us that we need to believe him to redeem our time. Can he do that? Yet, you can't do it in your own strength. We do this by the Spirit of God. In fact, it goes on in Ephesians in verse 18, it says, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or a waste of time, but," what? "But be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the cares of life. No. Be filled with time management. No. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be intoxicated with God. And that is key to getting your time redeemed. Actually getting your time back. God can supernaturally work time for us, if we will live life filled with the Spirit, living by faith, looking to him, not trusting in ourselves. He's bigger than time, you're not. He's better than time, you're not. He's quicker than time, you're not. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, you do. You lose a lot of time when you're sleeping. But God, he's not sleeping, he's still going. So we're looking to him, and he'll actually cause us to be able to redeem the time. We need to look to him. I remember one time I was driving in my car. I was living out in Oklahoma at the time, and I was rushing to get to a meeting, and I was running behind. I mean, it was close, and the instructor, you know, he didn't like people walking in late to his services, and so, I mean, I was just trying everything I could to get there on time, and I was hitting every light. And I was behind this one red light. I said, "Lord, please help me. I'm trying to get to the meeting on time." You know, it's like, this is a God holy spiritual meeting. Don't you want me there on time? And he spoke to my heart. And he said, "I'd rather you get there in the Spirit than on time." Now, that didn't mean, you know, he didn't care about me getting there on time. That's not what he said. But he said, "I'd rather you get there in the Spirit than get there on time." In other words, I'm so focused on the time. I'm so focused in on getting in that meeting on time that I'm losing sight of him. And I'm in a panic. And there's great wrath. No, not really. But I mean, I was upset. I was getting upset. Because that's what happens. Then you don't act right. Then you don't think right. Then that car in front of you, it's like, you know, it's an obstacle. Sometimes I've, you know, in the flesh, I've thought about what it would be like if I had like a laser beam or something in my car, some missiles. Had a sidewinder or two. Just take out the vehicle in front of me so I can get where I need to go and leave them in a heap of rubble. Smoking, smoldering over there. "Sorry, I gotta go." Right? Because you don't care about anybody else or anything except getting there on time. And that's not how we're supposed to live our life. We got to be more focused on the Spirit. And the Spirit can help us. He can help us be more disciplined. It's really not about managing time. It's about managing ourselves, our flesh, having self-control, getting control of our flesh, organizing ourselves. And time can help us organize ourselves. We don't organize time. We don't manage time. But time can help us organize ourselves and manage ourselves, manage what we do. You understand what I'm saying? So that what we do, we're not doing in the flesh, but we're doing what we do in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, following the Holy Spirit in what we do. We don't want to do things hastily, in a panic. We're talking about doing things hastily. We're talking about being thoughtless, rash, rushing around, lacking consideration of others. We can't allow ourselves to get into that place. If we start getting into that place, we're getting further and further from the Spirit. Because again, he's the opposite of the devil. The Spirit of God is the opposite of the devil. The spirit of the devil is in a panic. The Spirit of God is not in a panic. So we got to keep ourselves over in the Spirit, keep God above everything, and look to him to help us. And he will help us become more responsible. He'll help us to be more diligent, to move quicker, get things done fast, act on it. A lot of times people are behind in what they want to do because they didn't do what they were supposed to do when they were supposed to do it. And then they got backed up, right? And they were disobedient over here, and so now they're suffering over here. Now they're getting in a panic over here, but getting in a panic over here isn't going to fix the problem. We just got to take responsibility for our actions, take responsibility for mishandling our lives, our thoughts, what we're doing. And by doing that, we get over into prayer and we look to God to lead us out of the mess, right? To lead us out of the mess. Get out of the panic, get out of self, get out of worry, get out of fear, get back over to trusting him. Amen. It's the same thing that the Lord said to me one time when, you know, I kept working on this thing, and it was something you did every day, you know. And every day it was giving me trouble. And so I remember I prayed. I said, Lord, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that this is going to go smooth. Today it's going to work out perfect. It's all going to come in line. Right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Then I start going into it. Nope, it's not working out. It's getting harder and harder and harder. So then I thought, you know, I got to take authority over the devil. Devil! In the name of Jesus, get out of my way. Stop causing trouble. In Jesus' name. No, it only got worse. I mean, I did everything. And I'd take authority over the devil. And I'd pray. I'd reason with God about it. Just every day. It kept giving me a hard time. And then finally, one day, I recognized how I was acting was the greater problem. See, I was getting under pressure because I was trying to do this thing in a timely fashion. But it wasn't happening. And so it was getting frustrating. And so I'm struggling with trying to get this thing done. And it's taking like 3 times the amount of time that it should be taking. See? So you start getting into a panic. And then I realized the Lord showed me, again, just like he showed me, I'd rather you get there in the Spirit. It was like, you are more important than the thing you're doing. And so no matter what goes wrong, it's important that you don't. And I realized that. I said, Lord, I started praying, Lord, make everything go smooth, everything go right. And then when it doesn't, you get real frustrated, you know, because you're trying to figure out why aren't my prayers working. My prayers were wrong. It was, Lord, no matter what goes wrong, I pray that I won't. You keep me going right. You keep me acting right, even if this goes wrong. And you know what? No more problem with it. It's amazing how it just fell into place. Time and time again. Every time I'd go to do it, I'd say, and it looked like it might be giving me a problem. I just said, Lord, I thank you that no matter what happens, no matter what goes wrong, tries to go wrong, I pray that I won't go wrong. Keep me from going wrong. See, keep me right. Keep me in the Spirit. Keep me with the right attitude and the right heart. And then he always answers that prayer. That's praying from your heart. Not just focusing on the flesh. A lot of people pray in prayers, and it's all about time, and it's a pressure prayer, and God, I need you to do this, so that this, and it's all superficial, fleshy praying. If we want answered prayer, we got to learn to pray from our heart. If we want God's grace in what we're doing, we got to do it heartily, as unto the Lord. Not just doing things in the flesh. Not just reacting to the flesh. Praise God, and he hears those things, and then you have the grace of God on your life to be able to go through it, get the job done, and things will work out right because you're staying right no matter what. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever. Well, let's stand up. Let's thank God for the word tonight. Being diligent, getting some things straightened out with our thinking when it comes to time management. Now, I'm not saying you can't use that word, you know, time management. You know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, oh, that's wrong, time management. You see that time. No, there's no time management. I'm not, you know, it's in the context. What we have to understand is we're really not managing time. But we're using time as a reference point on helping to organize and manage ourselves, discipline ourselves. And get better at doing what we know in our heart to do. So we're using time. We're working with time. But we're not letting time control us. It's a tool. It's not our God. Say, time is a tool. It's not my God. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. We're going to follow him. If people looked inside to their spirit as much as they look at the clock, they would do a whole lot better. Look to the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for helping us.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.